spill some oil, have a major safety disaster, and it will cost you. BP is just learning how much. According to Bloomberg data, the Pentagon's former go-to for fuel is now the biggest loser among federal vendors. BP's lost more than a quarter of its contracting dollars in fiscal 2013. That amounts to just over $650 million. In this week's Legal Loop, we ask contracts lawyer Devin Hewitt how a contractor can climb back from such a spectacular fall. Devin, good morning.
Morning.
All right. So, first of all, was BP debarred because of anything it did relating to a federal contract action, or is this punitive because of the spill in 2010?
Well, I think it depends on who you ask. If you ask the government, they will emphatically say it is not punitive, and that's important that they say that and hopefully believe it, because debarment actions are not supposed to be punitive. What the government will say is that BP has shown a pattern of not addressing not just the Deepwater Horizon spill, but a number of environmental and safety violations for the prior 10 years, and that the debarment, which actually was a proposed suspension, it has the effect of a debarment, but that the proposed suspension is simply a reaction to BP's failure to rectify what the government believes are internal problems with the way they manage and control their safety and hazard risks.
So, Devin, tell us what the terms are of the suspension. What is BP limited for exactly?
Well, the suspension simply places them on what used to be called the excluded parties list. It simply says that we're going to suspend you from federal contracting pending an investigation into whether or not debarment is appropriate. By virtue of placing them on that list and identifying them as a suspended contractor, they are not allowed to receive new contracts. They are not allowed to receive new orders under existing contracts, and are not allowed to receive extensions or option renewals on their current contracts.
And I know that do you have a follow-up, Emily?
Yeah,
we're looking at each other here.
Well, because I'm just thinking this has been 4 years, almost 4 years now, will be 4 years next month since what happened in the Gulf. How long does such an investigation take? I mean, is it as long as a legal battle? Because BP could be waiting for this to become permanent for years more.
Well, the timing is interesting. The Deepwater Horizon, I think, was in 2010. The suspension came at the end of 2012. Typically, suspensions don't last more than 18 months. However, if there is a legal battle, that could extend or toll the suspension time. And indeed, there is a legal battle because BP has filed in district court to have the suspension lifted. So the 18 months has been, you know, suspended while the investigation is suspended as well, while the litigation plays out.
And I just wanted to clarify that idea about punitive, because we hear that word that this is not punitive when we talk about suspensions and debarments, and we've heard it over and over again over the years. What is punitive? What can the government do punitively? If you say you can't have any more contracts because we don't like the way you're doing this, if that's not punitive, what is, I guess I'm asking?
Well, it certainly appears punitive to the layman. The reason the punitive standard is important is because the debarment and suspension regulations only authorize the government to suspend or debar a contractor if it cannot show that it is, quote-unquote, presently responsible. And the term responsibility has a special meaning in government contracts, and it means
right.
That you have the current integrity and facilities and administrative controls to do good business and good business with the government. And so, in theory, the government's only supposed to look at where the company is now, how it's managed now, the precautions and safety measures it has now. And if those don't meet what the government considers a basic standard, then they are supposed to suspend or debar a contractor, and therefore it's not supposed to be punitive in terms of recourse for past events. And that's what actually BP is challenging in court. they are saying it is punitive because you're not looking at where we are now and all the things we've done. You're looking at a past pattern, which we believe we have rectified and will not happen in the future. And, you know, the government is saying, no, we've looked at the changes you've made, and the changes you've made still don't give us the confidence that you're going to run the business in a safe and responsible manner.
That sounds a little bit like politics, though, doesn't it? In this case, because of the celebrated nature of what happened to BP, and they did put up a $20 billion fund, and we know there are documented cases of millions and millions of dollars to people going to people that had no connection whatsoever with the spill.
Well, that is the lightning rod here, because BP, I think, is challenging the suspension and debarment quite aggressively because it believes it really has paid its dues. I mean, it entered into a huge settlement regarding a number of felony convictions related to the Deepwater Horizon spill, and I think that they believe that plus the fund they set up was really what they were supposed to do, and their view, BP's view, is, you know, this has got to stop at some point in time. The company and the country needs to move forward. We are not saying that we are not going to hold ourselves accountable for what happened, but we can't be continually bled for another decade on this. And the government feels that maybe in response to the publicity or the celebrity, as you said, of this event and the pressures it has across the country to really make an example of BP in some way that would show that we're not going to take these sort of things lightly and that there are a number of weapons in the government's arsenal against bad actors.
We're speaking with Devin Hewitt. She is a government contracts lawyer at Pretore Law. Devin, it raises the question, what happens in cases where there is also proposed suspension, but it's not as high profile and doesn't have the legal fund that BP has? Is this a one-off, or are you seeing this in other situations?
It actually has happened in other situations. If we hearken back to 2010, at that time, there was a human outcry, if you will, over the suspension and debarment of a large contractor, a federal integrator called GTSI.
Know them well.
For its alleged association with Alaska Native corporations. It was suspended for 3 weeks, and then after it agreed to fire its president, I think one of the unit presidents and its general counsel, it entered into an administrative agreement with SBA. Notwithstanding that, a year later, there were reports that it had lost, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. So it's not unusual. Would small companies or smaller companies face such a quote-unquote nuclear option? It's unlikely, but for different reasons. One is a smaller company, if it has the right leadership, can take control, and the government may have confidence that the changes are going to actually be implemented because the size of the company is smaller, and you know there aren't fingers or roots going far out that make it hard and difficult to control the entire actions of the company. Also, you know, the effect to the government is a lot less. I mean, one of the factors in considering suspension and debarment is whether or not the government's interests are significantly affected by what the company has done and by the way it's going to run its company and its contracts in the future. So the imprint or the footprint of a smaller company is not as significant. I mean, BP supposedly is the largest oil producer from the Gulf. And it's not the largest, but one of the largest fuel producers for the Department of Defense. So while it may be, quote-unquote, too big to fail, it also is such a visible contractor and such a huge Goliath of a company that the scrutiny has got to be that much stronger.
But it's interesting when you draw the distinction, too, between GTSI case and BP, because GTSI was suspended because of specific contracting FAR violations and having to do with small business subcontracting and so forth. In this case, it's almost like a secondary boycott because we didn't like what happened in the Gulf spill. It has nothing to do with whether BP delivered, they didn't deliver fuel that had water in it or were late or overcharged under the contract terms.
That is exactly right. I think the novelty of this particular suspension is that it is unrelated to their performance under government contracts, but that doesn't mean it's not proper. The suspension regulations pretty much allow the government to suspend or debar a contractor pretty much for conduct unbecoming of what they believe to be an important role, and that is a federal contractor. And having criminal convictions certainly puts you up on that radar. So, yes, it is a bit unusual because government usually focuses on government business. But in this case, the violations were so significant and so impactful that it really wasn't something the government could ignore.
And I want to go back to the discussion about whether or not or how much politics plays a role in this or image plays a role in this, because it seems like the government has wide latitude to decide when a contractor like BP is truthfully making a good effort and should be whatever penalty should be suspended. Is there any roadmap for the government to take in choosing those things? Is there any hard and fast criteria, or is it mostly intuition?
Well, I wouldn't say intuition. I mean, I would defend the government in that they had a baseline case here to suspend and conduct an investigation. But really, the government just needs a baseline case. It needs to have evidence that there has been conduct that's unbecoming, that there's a lack of integrity on the behalf of the contractor that creates risk for the government and the government doing business with this contractor. What's interesting is that as a legal matter, the burden then shifts to the contractor to prove that it is indeed responsible, that it has taken the measures to rectify past wrongs and to ensure that the company is going to operate in a responsible manner in the future. So the burden really is on BP, and I think that there are a number of factors in play here that has caused BP not really doing a good job in persuading the government that it's ready to meet the standard that the government demands.
Devin Hewitt is a government contracts lawyer at ProTrust.